Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. With Chris and Casey.
Yes, now it's playing. It's the Rule Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Tuesday, March 10th, 2020.
Happy Mario Day.
Oh, yeah, it's Mario Day.
It's Mario Day.
Is there a Mario basketball game?
Yes, there is. Mario Hoops 3-on-3 for the Nintendo DS.
I think maybe I've played that.
It's not great. To dribble, you have to tap the screen.
Oh,
and
no.
That's like where you dribble around your character.
And it was
made by Square Enix.
Famous sports.
Famous sports publisher,
Square Excellent Enix. Excellent at sports. Yeah. I have the Mario Tennis game to play.
Mario Tennis for the Switch?
Yes.
Okay, Switch. I only ever played the online demo that they had to test out their netcode.
Yes.
And I loved it. It was so fun.
I mean, I played Virtua Boy tennis back in the day,
which is very
fun. I heard recently that the Switch is like their most popular system ever or something. Or it beat the DS.
Yes.
Or Game Boy, maybe.
There is something that in those numbers about units sold versus units shipped. And also, the Game Boy had multiple variations, while the Switch has, just started to have a second variation.
I will say out there, if you care about Game Boys, somewhere in this garage there is a Game Boy Light.
Ooh, yeah.
Which was a Japanese import.
Ooh.
It was one of the first Game Boys that had it had a Timex Indiglo style backlight.
Cool. That's so cool.
And that got me through many a summer playing Tetris.
Well, if any of our listeners want to come through and dig through all of Chris's garage, you can come find it.
Yeah, please do. So the NBA.
Welcome back to basketball.
Well, how soon do we think we're going to have some games with no audience members?
In 2 weeks.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Because basically everything that's where people are assembling over numbers of 1,000 are in question right now.
People are shutting those down. So everybody knows that every improv show I've ever done is going to get shut down by the state.
I feel like most improv shows are safe at this point.
The only reason why they wouldn't be safe is that anybody who goes to an improv show is a degenerate.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, oh man, total yikes if
they're not going to wash their hands.
Just the grossest people you could meet.
Yeah. Germany now suggested no gatherings over 1,000. Coachella moved.
Coachella is in October. South by Southwest got canceled.
Yes. So March Madness, they're debating?
I will be very surprised if they take March Madness and throw it away just because of how craven the NCAA is.
Yes. We know your thoughts about the NCAA.
I got takes, y'all.
And LeBron said, no, I'm not playing for nobody.
Yes, he did say that, and then he quickly walked that back.
Oh, did he walk it back? I didn't see the walk back.
The walk back came a couple of days later after he was like, oh, actually, this is something that could happen, not just a thing that people are like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think, the vast majority of people that watch games are people at home.
Yeah.
We are also pretty uniquely prepared for social isolation living in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We do sort of just exist in our cars a lot.
That is true.
And, you can go a long time without seeing people.
Yeah.
Casey and I are currently 1 meter apart, which is far enough, isn't it?
Is it? I mean,
I have no idea.
Do not listen to us for your COVID-19 rules and regulations. We don't know.
Yeah. I just think that it will be, I think it'd be interesting to see some games without crowd.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the only time I can ever think of this ever happening before is because of racism in Europe.
Uh-huh. Oh, where the mobs are just at each other's throats or something?
No.
Or they were harassing a player?
Yes. And so then they were banned from having fans at their next game. That's happened in Europe a couple of times, mostly Italy.
Yeah, Europe is it's a different relationship to racism than we do here. Not that we have cracked it here, but it's just very different there.
Yeah, I
they like to think that we're obsessed with race.
But instead,
they're just straight up racist. also somewhere, probably not in this garage, but it's somewhere in one of my storage, maybe back in home in Texas, my family's house. There is a videotape with a recording of the game on it, which was a game between two teams during a player strike
or
a lockout, I should say,
for football.
Basketball.
Basketball.
And this was like Patrick Ewing era, and there was it might have been Foot Locker.
Foot Locker put on
the put game. This on because the team. I know one team was called Team Foot.
Ooh, and then so the other team.
I'm going to look up. I hope the other team was called Team Locker.
That would be very, very funny. What's worse than Team Foot? I'd rather be Team Locker. If I was going to be Team anything, I'd be Team Locker.
Yeah. So I remember that was a very strange thing.
I mean, such a wild thing to do during a strike. What was the thing that somebody put out a comedy video during the strike last time? It was like NBA lockout. I think it was the starters or when they were the Basketball Jones, and it was like, you know, Kevin Love's got plenty of time, and he'll be your beekeeper. He'll, you know. Uh-huh.
He'd be a great beekeeper.
He'd be a great beekeeper. You know, people from Oregon, they got that beekeeping in their blood.
You know, I can't find any information about this game. I know that it happened.
Wait, are you trying to tell me that it's very hard to search on Google for the game?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm.
Especially all those people that are, you know, trying to play the game who just lost.
Uh-oh.
Because they've been reminded that the game exists.
Oh, wow.
Remember that thing from a couple years ago?
What do you mean a couple years ago? You mean from
10 years ago?
For as long as we've been alive, the game has existed.
Is
for
it?
Millennia. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, one quick bit of admin. I'm going to describe to the listeners what Casey's wearing today, and you can, in your head, you can try to guess what he's wearing.
And if you can guess what episode we've done this exact jersey on before.
Oh, no. So I've seen this before.
You have, yes, you have.
This is a basketball jersey. It is, I would say, a royal-ish purple. With green and yellow trim, it says NOLA on the front, and it's the number 23.
Yes.
Which means I've seen this before, and I'm probably about to make the exact same guesses that I made last time.
Yeah.
So this is a Pelicans jersey.
Well, no.
Oh, this is a Hornets jersey?
Yes, technically, okay. Yeah.
Has this player been an All-Star?
Yes, this player has been an All-Star.
Okay. Is this a player I like or despise?
You like this player.
Okay, so it's not Chris Paul.
It's not Chris Paul. Because Chris Paul's number is...
8?
I don't know. What's his nickname? What do you call him?
Overrated?
Oh, my. You don't even know Chris Paul's... It's CP3.
Right. It is. That is his nickname.
Yeah.
It would be great if his name was something over the number 8.
Yeah.
And it was overrated.
It's not CP23.
This is a player I like, you said. Oh, is it Drew Holiday?
You like him a lot. No, it's not Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday wears number 11, I believe.
Oh. Does he still play for the Hornets? Does he still play in the league? Oof, this is tough. So it's not Bobby Fills.
It's not Bobby Fills.
Is Bobby Fills alive?
I mean, I don't know who Bobby Fills is. I just repeated a word back to you.
Wait. You can just tell me who it is.
This is not a no LA jersey. This is a yes LA jersey.
Uh-huh.
Because the person who wore this jersey
plays for...
said yes to LA.
Anthony Davis?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, that would have been...
This is my Anthony Davis Mardi Gras jersey.
Bobby Fills was... he played for the Cavaliers and the Hornets. He did play for the Hornets. And I believe he died in a car crash in 2000.
Ooh.
What was a car crash? I remember he was a very good, tough player, a good defender. Yes, he was killed January 12th, 2000 in a car accident. He was driving over 100 miles per hour in his Porsche behind what other Charlotte Hornets player?
Oh,
he's a guard and he had no hair.
Oh, Ron Harper?
No. It was David Wesley.
David Wesley. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I think they were like racing cars or something and he died.
Got it.
So, Casey, that's the jersey business out of the way.
Jersey business is out of the way.
I hope that, first of all, let's assume that all of Casey's social engagements Sunday night went great.
They went fantastic.
There was no residual anger for coming off Casey.
No anger.
He was
feeling good.
Happy-go-lucky, willing to talk to anybody in the world.
And I did a lot of social engagement on Sunday night.
Yeah. You're doing the opposite of social distancing.
Yes, correct. I
you're closing that gap.
The gap is very close.
Because you must have been in a good mood.
I was in a great mood. Yeah. I was in a great mood because I went to go watch the Clippers game, Lakers Clippers game, with a buddy of mine who's a Clippers fan. Friend of the podcast, Gavin Gronenthal.
Mm-hmm.
He and I watched the game together.
Where did you watch this?
At his apartment.
Okay. Because I'm wondering, is in LA, are there like Clippers bars you could go to?
I mean, no. what is a Clippers bar?
Well,
I mean, I guess like maybe.
Like you can go to somewhere and be like, this is a place where we watch Red Sox games.
Yeah. No, I understand the idea of like a team's bar, but like a Clippers bar?
Yeah.
In LA?
There must be one.
I don't know. Official home of the Clippers? Like where would that be?
I don't know. Donald Sterling's wife should start one. I bet there's one somewhere. We'll find it.
Hard pass.
This would have been a good game for you to watch at a Clippers bar.
Yeah.
Because you could have been the one dude in the middle agitating everybody.
But what I couldn't have done at the Clippers bar was brought the thing that has kept me calm during these stressful Lakers games.
Oh.
That's right. I've taken up knitting.
Yeah. Did you knit during this game?
I knit during the game.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm already getting to a point where I can like stop looking at the knitting. And just like feel for the stitch and just like pull it, twist it, pop it, you know.
Casey's knitting a blanket. Is this basketball related? This blanket?
It is not basketball related. It is just that I saw some yarn on really, really deep discount. And so I bought it.
So the colors of this blanket are not gold and form blue.
No, they are. It is not that color. The colors of this yarn that I got are like, blue, brown, and beige.
Okay,
it's kind of a cool.
Wait, look. All in one yarn or separate?
All in one yarn, okay. And it's like a little random as to how it's on the yarn.
Uh huh. I don't understand. Ooh, neat.
Yeah, right.
I still don't quite get why the Lakers color is called Forum Blue.
Because of
the Forum, the Forum. Fabulous Forum.
Yeah, it's a regal. You know, like. Royal blue is purple, right? So it's Forum blue. It's the regal Forum blue from like when the Kings played at the Forum.
Yeah, it's just weird because it doesn't look blue at all.
It's Forum blue. It's purple.
I guess words can just mean whatever you say they mean.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about this game, Lakers Clippers. It was a very good game, I thought.
Very, very fun. Very good game. And so I mean, I kind of want to talk about this game and in the context of the Giannis Bucks game as well.
Okay. Yes.
Right. Because like the two of those games hand in hand created just a really fantastic Lakers weekend.
The Lakers had a very good weekend until tonight.
Yes, until tonight, which
is not the weekend.
That's okay. Hey, we're hanging in there.
Yeah. But still, they had a very good weekend.
Very good weekend. They
faced, you know, the best team in the East and I would say their main rival in the West.
Watching these two games, you would not think that Anthony Davis had good games just by watching them.
Uh-huh.
Right? He had some good runs, but overall, it felt like he was missing a lot of shots. It felt like he was still feeling the effects of his injury that he had come back from. Until you look at the box score and you're like, holy shit, he killed it.
Yeah.
He killed it. And I think he killed it in these games statistically while not having, like, the game he would have wanted.
Right.
Like, I don't think he played up to what he would have wanted.
His floor is higher than most people's ceiling.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy how good he is. And so, like, I don't think he played super great against the Clippers.
Right.
I think he played fine. And then he had 30 points. And it was like, all right, well, where did that all come from? And, like, it came from the free throw line. It came from, you know, a really, really, really good set of, like, offensive rebounding, like, sets. Like, he was so, so good in that game.
He shot very well. 11 of 19 from the field.
Yes.
You know, like Paul George and Kawhi had good games.
Yeah,
for them.
Yes,
And it's funny. Both of these teams feel very two-man heavy. You know, because I would say that, you know, your theory of like there's going to be another player that scores pretty well panned out in the Clippers game because Avery Bradley had a very good game.
He was the guy.
He was the guy that game. And on the Clippers side, Montrezl Harrell had a very good game as well.
He was the guy.
But. I guess this is going to be an interesting year where we test out that theory. Is like two guys plus, is that what can win a championship?
Yeah. Because that plus is just that third guy doesn't have to be the same guy every night.
Yeah.
He's just a different guy. That guy just is a guy.
And, well, it might just be that this is a year that maybe this is the year you can win with that, because I think that is not a thing that would have worked against the Warriors in shape. You know, like.
I mean, it did win the. It did when the Cavs beat them.
Well, but they also had injuries, and like they didn't have their four guys at full strength.
Yeah, I mean, you know, wow, are you making Celtics excuses for the Warriors now?
No, but Curry was like injured that entire
full squad.
He was injured the whole postseason, I thought, like from halfway to the end.
Not the whole postseason.
But the part that mattered at the end, he was.
he was injured, but he was still playing.
Yeah, I know. That's and then is that the season? Is that the series where Draymond was suspended?
From? Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you run that series 10 out of 10, like 8 out of 10 times the Warriors win that series.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't think that the... I think this year there isn't a team like the Warriors that is like squad at the same level as the Warriors. You could almost argue that the Bucks is a little bit like that below Giannis. If anything, Giannis, the Bucks are like a one man plus team.
Yeah.
But there isn't a team right now with like, you know, the thing that people always grumbled about with the Warriors having like three Hall of Famers or however, whatever they're going to say.
Yeah.
You know, four All-Stars, five All-Stars with... Do they have Cousins for a little while? There isn't a team like that this year. Yeah. So if there's any year where you can go just LeBron and AD and hope you get contributions, or on the other side, just Kawhi and Paul George and get some contributions, maybe this is the year that you can do that.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the Rockets are probably kind of like that too. You're kind of hoping Harden and Westbrook kind of do that.
Yeah.
You know, this season probably... in the regular season has been a little more fun because there isn't this just like dominant team. We talked before about how the Bucks are dominant, but we're all kind of just waiting to see, you know, how real that is.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, maybe the Mavericks one day are going to be a two man plus team with Doncic and Kristaps.
Maybe the Hawks will be a two man team with, you know, Trae Young and John Collins, or
the Trailblazers with Damian Lillard and Carmelo Anthony,
and the Knicks with
James Dolan and the Street Smarts,
and the Straight Shot, JD and the Straight Shot,
baby. Singular, like the Stanford Cardinal,
exactly.
And you know, Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton,
will
continue to miss the playoffs. So how did you feel about, first of all? Let me ask you this. How'd you feel about... do you think that it's easy to guard LeBron James?
No.
Are you sure? Because one of the defensive stalwarts of the Clippers feels that it's easy to guard LeBron James.
I mean, I guess
his quote is not hard at all.
I guess it depends on what you mean by not hard at all. Like, if you mean, like, it's not hard to get beat by LeBron James, like to just stand in front of him and then be beaten.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I could stand in front of LeBron James and let him score as many points as he wants.
But what if you were Patrick Beverley and somebody asked you after a game, you know, was it hard to guard LeBron?
Okay, so I wasn't so upset about that quote from him because, of course, he's got to have that attitude. He's Patrick Beverley. He's got to have that attitude. Otherwise, he doesn't play. Or without the attitude, Patrick Beverley is nothing.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad about it. I mean, he's just wrong.
I just think
that's okay.
What I didn't like about it, the quote, was it's just very I don't like it when people try to present a position of strength and actually they sound weak. because really he sounded brittle in that moment. Like, he didn't want to entertain this reporter's question at all. Patrick Rowe was asked after the game, like, what was it like to guard LeBron, and he immediately cut him off. It's like, not hard at all, not hard.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh, it just seems like you are. I mean, just the very boring, real answer is just like, yeah, it's hard, but you know, I think I did a pretty good job or whatever.
Yeah,
LeBron didn't have like some incredible shooting game or whatever. He got to the line a lot, but like, you know, he's always going to have very good games, but he didn't have some 50 point nightmare, so it's hard to guard him. You know, I just thought it was, I guess what it is encapsulates what I hate about Patrick Beverley, which is it's just posturing and woofing.
Yeah.
And I understand the point that that's kind of what he needs to get to make his money.
Yeah.
I just don't respect it at all.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, I don't think that you have to respect it. I'm not out here like, you got to respect that. I just think that I'm not upset about it because it's just who he is.
I just don't like who he is.
Yeah.
Did I like seeing Avery Bradley steal the ball from him?
Yes.
And throw down a layup and then get in his face? Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
You know, as long as Patrick Beverley doesn't end up doing something like he did to Westbrook where he like injures somebody.
Yeah. I don't want that. That would be bad. I would be upset with him because that's who he is, and I don't like that about him.
Interestingly, there are people that, this is a very fringe opinion, but there are people that are blaming Avery Bradley for injuring Giannis.
Because he tried to take the charge.
Right. But like, so Giannis got a blocking foul called on Avery Bradley, and then Giannis sort of continuation through the play, dunked the ball, and then landed on... Or he kind of landed awkwardly on or around Avery Bradley, and now he's got some left knee issues.
Yes, so he's out for a couple of games. He should be back this week.
Yes. I think that's silly to blame that on Avery Bradley.
I also think that's a little silly. It's a little much, right? Yeah. Because if you blame that on him, then what else are you going to blame on him, right? If he like is fouling somebody in the act of shooting and they get hurt, yeah. Is he to blame for that? Like, I don't know. That felt to me like if you're going to blame him, instead you should just be blaming the block charge thing.
I think you should just be blaming not only the sport of basketball, but the concept of competition.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take it all the way to the bottom turtle.
We're taking it to the streets.
Any other thoughts about this Clippers-Lakers game? Sounds like you had fun watching it.
The Morris brothers could have been even... could not have been less of a factor in this game.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that was... I think that may have been the worst game that Marcus Morris Sr. had played in a Clippers uniform.
Uh-huh.
But it was pretty bad, dude. 0-for-9 from the field. Uh-huh. 1 point. I mean, that's embarrassing.
Was there some trash talk going into this from him?
Trash? No. Okay. No trash talk. Just like people were hyping this up as like... The Morrises, they're playing together in Los Angeles. They live in the same house, and they're going to play
against each other. Oh, do they live in the same house?
They said they would do that. I don't know if they actually
agreed to it. Oh, that's cute. I hope they do that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They're brothers. They want to live together.
Yeah.
They wanted to play on the same team out of college.
So, you know, the Lakers are continuing to win. I am skeptical of this roster. I still don't like... I think it's... I liked the scrap of the game. From the Lakers' point of view,
they played both games incredibly hard.
Yeah, so that is actually, aside from all the box score concerns I have, it's fun to root for a team that is feisty in that way.
Feisty,
and it's good to see that. I feel like that. It's almost like LeBron can't play in a way that's not physical because he just is such a physical specimen. He's very wide. He's very strong. But like it is nice to see a team where it seems like the feistiness is sort of like from 1 to 15 on the roster.
Yeah.
Or at least the toughness, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing that.
The only person on the team who's not tough is Talen Horton Tucker because he has never played a basketball game before.
I was going to say maybe Kuzma.
Isn't the Kuzma's... Toughness. I mean, Kuzma wants to be tough, and he tries. It just doesn't work out all the time.
Yeah. I've probably shit on the Rockets before, even though the Rockets stole my pick to win the championship. I have to stick to that.
Oh, Lord.
But the thing that would frustrate and does frustrate me about the Rockets is that that feistiness and the grind part of it, the Memphis-style grit and grind, doesn't come from the top players. Certainly, Westbrook has a lot of motor, but like defensive grit and grind doesn't come from Westbrook and Harden on that team. So
yeah.
I don't like that that split identity of a team. So I do like this about the Lakers. I'm just concerned about the thing that this expecting to get double digits from some other player on a nightly basis. I still worry about when we come to the playoffs.
Yeah,
because most of the rest of the team didn't play very well, like or didn't play in any notable way. They probably all had 15 PERs
for the game
or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what... I do wish if we could get Kuzma to just be a reliable 15 points. That would be nice.
He's just another side of that dice. That's all Kyle Kuzma is. He's just auditioning every night to be that third guy.
Sometimes you throw that die and it just lands on the edge.
Yes, and much like tonight's game where...
I did not watch tonight's game. It was against the Brooklyn Nets.
Did you catch any? I watched most of it. I feel like I started watching midway through the first quarter. Uh-huh. It was a heartbreaker. I mean, the Nets played pretty well. They kind of kicked us around on the glass, especially the offensive glass. And the shots just didn't go down. There were a couple shots that were like rimmed in and rimmed out towards the end of the game that were like, man, should have made that one. And Anthony Davis had a wide open look from three to win the game and missed it.
It's a shame because the Bucks also lost last night to the Nuggets. So there is still a chance that the Lakers can catch them for home court advantage for the whole playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not worried about that. I mean,
it'd just be nice.
It would be nice. But if we don't, the Bucks aren't guaranteed to come out of the East either.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and so. and the Lakers, if they maintain this lead over the Western Conference for the next couple weeks, they're probably safe in terms of giving up that one seed in the West.
Yeah, that's true.
The Nets, you know, probably energized by, I guess, not having Kenny Atkinson around.
I guess. What in the fuck happened?
That was odd, I would say.
It was so weird.
The Nets fired Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
All
of that was weird. My buddy who lives in New York was texting me about it, and he said, what happened with the Kenny Atkinson thing? It's like, I don't know. It's going to come out soon, but if it does come out soon, it's probably going to have something to do with Kyrie. And lo and behold, the Yahoo article that came out later that day was like, Kyrie had soured on Atkinson 10 games into his tenure with the Nets. It's like, all right, well, yeah, sure, of course.
Just strange because, this year is like a holding pattern year for them. So anything they get this year is great.
Yeah.
And they're in the playoff mix.
Yeah.
So just like, go to the playoffs and the off season, get a new coach or whatever.
Yes, right. So like that would be great. Here's the issue. They're not going to do that because it was also implied that Atkinson didn't want to be there.
Oh,
so I didn't know that. It was a combo of Kyrie and Durant wanting him out, and then him being like, "If you want me out, I'm fucking out. I'm gonna get a better job. I don't give a shit."
And I assume as a head coach, he probably has the thing where he gets to like make his money for the next 3 years or whatever.
You know, I don't know what his contract was, but I think they framed it as a mutual exit, which does not always mean that he gets his money from the contract.
Or maybe he's got some like lower amount that he negotiated for or something.
Yeah. I mean, he could have agreed to a buyout of some sort. The coaches don't have a union that has the same level of power as the players. So their contracts are, not guaranteed in the same way, but, they're usually guaranteed for firing, but they're not usually guaranteed for voluntarily leaving.
Yeah.
So
his contract was extended in April of last year.
Okay.
So
he almost got back to April of this year. Very close. Oh, good job, buddy.
And do you know who the interim coach is?
Yes, I do. Jacques Vaughn.
Yeah.
There we go. Former point guard for the San Antonio Spurs. He was a backup point guard.
I want to say, was he a Kansas player?
Ooh,
back in the day?
That is a question that I don't have the answer to.
So, yeah, I would love to know how much. I wish you could look up coaches' salaries.
I think you can.
Yeah. So, he got him in the playoffs and he got fired.
Yeah, and that's wild.
Very wild. I wouldn't say by any stretch people would say that they're having a bad season.
Yeah. So. Between $2.5 and $3 million a year for Kenny Atkinson.
Hey,
there you go.
You know what?
You get some monies.
Anything else going on in the league that you're...
There's a bunch of stuff going on in the league.
Oh, do you want to pick our next game?
Our next game is picked.
Okay.
There's no discussing it. We are watching the Lakers take on the Nuggets on Sunday.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's right.
Back to this grind.
Back to the grind. It's Nugget time.
And is this, where is this game taking place?
In Los Angeles.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they got a game against Houston on Thursday, and then they rest up 2 days, and they play the Nuggets on Sunday.
This is going to be my version of Casey's game last week.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't care that much about whether they beat the Clippers, but I care very much that they beat the Nuggets.
That's right.
Because I dislike the Nuggets.
Ooh, and they're the shoes on the other foot, my guy.
I dislike Jamal Murray.
Did you dislike his waved-off dunk?
I did not see this. I read about it, but I didn't see it.
Oh, it was nasty as fuck. It was so nasty. It was very rude that they waved it off. Very, very rude. Should not have been an offensive foul. They should fire that referee.
You know what? Not having seen it.
He should keep his job. They should fire him into the sun.
Not having seen it, I fully believe that Jamal Murray violated the rules and spirit of the game in the way that he...
in the most Canadian way possible.
Yes, exactly. You know. So March 15th, 6 p.m. Pacific. That's what? 9... no, sorry. Wait, 9 p.m.?
Yes.
Eastern? Oh, because it's a game here.
There we go.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The Lakers hosting the Denver Nuggets on March 15th.
Yeah.
That is our game of the week.
Yeah.
You know, I like Jokic still.
He's a good player.
And that's, you know, do I like other players on that Nuggets team?
No.
I'm indifferent to... I genuinely am indifferent to Gary Harris. I just think that he was overrated for a while by many pundits. And he's sort of come back down to the level that I thought he was at.
Apparently he's been playing pretty well over the last 10 days is what the Nuggets beat writers have been saying.
Well, good for him.
Good for him. Who gives a crap?
Let's see. What did you say over the last 10 games?
Over the last 10 games, he's been playing better is what they've been saying.
All right, 6, 7, 8, 9. Let's see.
Dun, 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 dun,
last
dun,
10
dun,
games, dun. He is scoring 11.6 points per game.
Okay.
3 rebounds a game. And
sounds good.
1.8 assists.
I mean, that Gary Harris is a shoot-first shooting guard.
Uh-huh. He's taking 9 shots a game and hitting 4 of them.
That's why I said the beat writers, because he said he's been playing like he used to.
Ah.
So, we will see how that goes.
So, Lakers-Nuggets on March 15th.
That's Lakers-Nuggets March 15th.
On the Ides of March.
That's right.
Let's hope that no senators are assassinated. Roman senators.
Yeah, Roman senators. Okay, this is a Shakespeare thing. Okay, this is not anything else.
Yeah.
I just watched the first season of Barry. Which has a...
It's terrific.
A climax that ends with a scene from Shakespeare. And it just makes me think, like, man, people in L.A. probably don't get Shakespeare.
I thought your revelation was going to be like, hey, Shakespeare's pretty good.
Not that is not the takeaway from the way the actors do it in Barry.
Yes.
But that's part of the joke.
Yeah.
It's part of the joke.
I think that show is very good.
Yeah.
I find that their depictions of acting classes is a little
too harsh.
A little ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's had that teacher who is there because they only know how to teach and have never succeeded as a...
Yes.
But, like, that's not why most people go into teaching. Most people go into teaching because they love it.
Right.
So, that's just a mean stereotype about teachers. And no, I'm not defending teachers because my mom was a teacher and my girlfriend's a teacher. Like, I like teachers, okay?
Yeah, that's the hot take for the
That's the week. Hot take of the week. I like teachers.
And he cannot lie.
It's true.
What else is buzzing in your head?
What else is NBA buzzing? I kind of want to talk about this race for the 8th spot in the West.
Okay.
Right? So the 8th spot is hot. It's hot. It's up for grabs. And the teams that are, like, jostling into position...
Yes.
They're all within a half game of each other.
Right.
Because, except for the team in the 8th spot. The teams that are in the position to go for it, Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and San Antonio. All 4 of those teams are either – they're 2.5 games back of – sorry, 3.5 games back of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Uh-huh.
Memphis has not shown that they are, like, going to put anyone out of this race. So, you know, Sacramento, who's 7-3 over their last 10. New Orleans, who's really jamming with Zion back together. Portland, who you feel like could awake from their slumber at any moment. And San Antonio, who hasn't missed the playoffs in 4 million years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are 5 teams for 1 spot, which makes this the most tightly contested race in the entire league.
Uh-huh.
Right? What's going to happen here?
Well, we've talked previously about who we think is going to hold on to this 8th seed, and I can't remember. Did you pick?
I picked Portland, I believe.
I think I picked Memphis to hold on to it.
Yeah.
Now I will just point out that amazingly, most of these teams have had the hardest schedule so far.
Yeah.
So right now, the Pelicans have had the hardest schedule of the season so far, and their schedule is harder. And it's not even close to the next team. So I don't know exactly what this number means, but on Basketball Reference, they rent the strength of schedule. And a lot of that, I believe, is like win-loss. And so basically, If you have a zero for this, you're like a league average schedule.
Got it.
New Orleans Pelicans' strength of schedule is 1.13.
Okay.
The next team is the Golden State Warriors at 0.68.
Okay.
And then the rest of them are like relatively close, but like on a chart, like that's a pretty significant.
Yeah.
It's almost double what the number two team is.
Absolutely.
And then Portland is number three.
Okay.
Sacramento is number five.
Okay.
San Antonio is number six.
Oh.
So all of these teams have had rough schedules so far.
Okay.
And Memphis is 17th.
Ooh.
So there's a good.
And Memphis is hurt. A lot of people in Memphis are hurt.
It's very likely that the Memphis Grizzlies give up this spot.
I mean, you know, 3.5 games is still a lot to overcome, especially, you know, in a league where, you know, most teams are going to win 3 out of 10 games at the least, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is only right now, there's only one team in the league in their last 10 games that's won less than 3 games.
Mm.
Right? So it's all, we're all like, everybody's just kind of in the, you know, like you said, the Ides of March.
Yeah.
Just kind of sitting there playing basketball, waiting for the playoffs to start. But these teams don't have the luxury of doing that. Like the Kings have gone on a run, right? They're 7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah.
They've been playing a little better. Do you think like they could possibly pop up there? I mean, they're.
No.
No, there's no chance.
I mean, I don't think they will. I did enjoy this week when an audience or crowd member was yelling on video, and you could hear him saying, "Where is Buddy Hield?" did you see that?
I heard about it because Buddy Hield not playing at the end of the game that they lost
by, I don't know, for 2 or 3 points or something.
Yeah,
Buddy Hield who won
Does he shoot basketballs? Is he a basketball shoot guy? Does he do the shoots?
Well, has Buddy Hield shown any propensity to shoot from beyond the 3-point line in any sort of organized way anytime recently?
I don't know.
It is funny that, like, that is. I'm sure that there's sophisticated basketball coach feel reasons or advanced data or whatever for Luke Walton to not play him.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things that's kind of like, dude, like. Just the optics of it don't make any sense.
Yeah.
You have the guy who won the 3-point contest. You need a 3-pointer.
Yeah.
Is anyone else on your team some amazing 3-pointer instead?
I mean, Bielitsa and Dedmon are pretty good 3-point shooters. Not Dedmon. Bielitsa and Holmes. Dedmon's gone. Dedmon is dead. Dedmon's a dead man.
I do want to point out that out of the teams we're talking about, the New Orleans Pelicans have the best net rating.
Okay.
Out of those teams. And
all the net ratings are pretty bad.
Their net rating is -0.8.
Yeah.
Which is not that bad, actually.
I guess these teams are underperforming their Pythagorean record, I believe. Most of these teams are.
They are. Memphis is overperforming.
Memphis is, but the other teams are not.
Yeah. So Pythagorean wins. Pelicans have 30, and I believe they have 28 real wins.
Correct.
Portland has 29.
And they have exactly 29.
Sacramento has 28.
Exactly 28.
The Spurs have 27.
Exactly 27.
And the Memphis Grizzlies have 30, and they have 32.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, you know, that's the...
How many Pythagorean wins do the Bucks have?
The Milwaukee Bucks have 52.
Oh, so they're outperforming by a little bit.
They also have the easiest strength of schedule for the league so far.
Got it. The Lakers are probably outperming their Pythagorean.
They have like 47. They have 45.
Oh, yeah. So they're way outperforming.
That's the LeBron clutch factor.
That's the LeBron clutch factor. Only he clutched his way to winning the game tonight.
I do want to caution that strength of schedule when we talk about the league is so... It's an odd thing because...
It is weird. Because it's not like they're taking the win-loss record of the team at the time that they play. It's the cumulative win-loss record of all the teams they've played.
And they also don't play the same set of teams. You know, if we did strength of schedule so far just based on your conference, then maybe that would be fair because you are going to end up... Or no, you don't even do that. You play everyone in your division 4 times.
You play everyone in your division 4 times.
Conference?
You play everyone in the other conference 2 times.
Uh-huh.
And then from the other divisions in your conference, you play them either 3 or 4 times.
Right. So it's
not equal, but it's pretty close.
Well, I guess what I mean is like, so So strength of schedule in the NFL is an interesting stat because the schedules are genuinely like fucked up. Like yeah. there's no way they can actually like play the entire league, right?
Yes.
But strength of schedule in the NBA is weird because half of the teams are getting to play an easier conference more than the rest. So whenever you look at these rankings, inevitably the Eastern Conference teams are just at the bottom of this list.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think it's weird. Now, we're only talking about Western Conference teams in this comparison. But I just think it's funny that like basically one conference just to be gets to be like the junior varsity conference.
Yep.
And that's the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Did you, I actually would recommend, where did it, on SB Nation.
Okay.
So I'm experimenting with a website called Scroll. This is not an endorsement for it. This is a website that you basically sign up for a subscription and then it provides you ad-free versions of a bunch of popular content websites like Vox or Salon or Business Insider.
Okay.
So basically if you go to the site first and you get a little cookie, then you can see these sites without ads. And then you are paying like a little subscription for that. It's not unpleasant, I will say. The sites themselves are kind of more clean.
Okay.
There's less pop-ups. So, like, so it's generally, I'm debating whether or not it's worth it.
I guess here's the question I have.
Yeah.
Do you never use reader mode on your computer?
I rarely do.
Because that does it for free.
Yeah, but reader mode... how much navigation can I do from one page to the next in reader mode?
What do you mean one page to the next?
So like, let's see, if I do reader mode on Safari, how do I do it in Safari?
Upper left-hand corner
of the address. So if I go to Vox, let's go into reader mode. Show reader, here we are. Right, so I can read this article in a non-adsy way.
Yes.
But I am losing a lot of like, outlinks to other things.
That is correct. Yeah, you have to go back to get your outlinks.
Right. So that's what I...
You just need a keyboard shortcut for reader mode to then go in and out of reader mode.
Oh.
Because like the links that you can click on in the article, you can still read. But the links that you would like click on that were like a related article or read this next, you don't get.
Well, what I do like about the Scroll thing is that it divides my subscription fee amongst the articles that I read the most.
Oh.
So then it does show me a graph that says, hey, last month you spent 40% of your time on Vox, so we're giving 96 cents to them.
Got it.
Whatever.
So they're betting that the people on Scroll will be better than the money that they pay to advertise to you. Because they're not technically paying to advertise to you. You're just paying 96 cents to use their website.
Yeah, so what's very strange, actually, is if I go to The Atlantic, after two articles, was like, you've run out of your free articles. I was like, but I'm paying for this other thing. Like, I shouldn't have to pay your membership and this other one, right? Because they are a partner with Scroll.
Interesting.
So the reason I bring it up is I hardly ever read SB Nation. Like, I just hardly ever voluntarily go to SB Nation.
Yeah.
But SB Nation is a partner.
It's a partner, with so Scroll. They're doing it.
So I was like, oh, let me go. By the way, so is Deadspin. And I don't understand this because Scroll only launched like a month ago.
Deadspin's still around. Did you know that?
It's been dead. It still has the same Kellen Winslow goes for a plea deal.
Yes.
Or whatever. Since
But they're hiring and they hired a new editor-in-chief and they're going to relaunch at any moment.
Maybe
it's. I found myself like typing in deadspin.com into my phone just far too often. I get embarrassed because it's like I miss it.
I really like Deadspin.
I miss it.
And then they basically screwed over their entire
screwed over everybody.
Not unlike the LA Weekly.
Yeah,
yeah. So I went to SB Nation. I want to recommend an article from SB Nation.
Okay.
That talked about the defensive adjustments that the Lakers. The offensive adjustments that the Lakers made against the Paul George Kawhi defense.
Cool. Who wrote it?
I don't know. I could look it up, though. Basically, talking about how the LeBron orchestrated moving screens around to basically always get away from Mike Prada.
Mike Prada. He's great.
The headline is, the Lakers beat Kawhi Leonard and Paul George by avoiding them. So it's basically a breakdown of how he, you know, was calling for screens and moving the ball around so that they would always get Lou Williams as their primary defender.
Yeah, love it.
And then the question is, can they replicate this in the playoffs? Should they meet the Clippers. And I would say from the sort of generic nonpartisan reaction to the Clippers Lakers games, it seems that many, many basketball fans would be very happy with a 7-game series between the Clippers and Lakers.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so fun.
Yeah. Now, how it carries some risk to it though, Casey.
Yeah.
Because that means that there's a chance that the Lakers could lose a playoff series to the Clippers.
I mean, you know what? If the Clippers are ever going to show the world that they mean something, that's the only way they can do it.
They have to do it through the Lakers.
They have to, right? Yeah. If they do it through somebody else, it's like, nah, doesn't really matter. If they beat the Lakers, then maybe someone will finally respect them. Can I tell you how I trolled all my Clipper friends?
Oh, boy.
During the game, I texted them, L.A. our way, because the Clippers were losing.
Uh-huh.
So, if you're a friend of mine who got an L.A. our way text, I think you're a Clippers fan.
I would love it if you could get Patrick Beverley's phone number and text these things to him.
Oh, man. I think he'd probably block my phone.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not a pro. He'd block my phone.
I'm trying to think of what are the other... We tried to think of this last week. What are the other Clippers slogans? Because we got the streetlights, not spotlights or
we
whatever.
We run this town.
Right.
We run these streets. The Lakers? Who needs that glitz and glamour?
Uh-huh.
We're the Clip Show.
Clippers? Almost as good. How about this George... Ooh, I do not like these Paul George... I actually do not like any of these Clippers. I'm looking at merch that's the Clippers. Ugh. Where they cut up the logo to be the number of the player. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeesh, indeed.
So basically, it's Paul George, number Phil is the name of the shirt.
Okay.
And it's them with an outline of his number 13, and they just copy and paste the logo into it. And it basically looks like you are missing the puzzle pieces to get through this like little puzzle hunt.
Wow.
Boo.
That's wild. That's wild and bad.
Yeah. Similar to me, you know, trying to show some solidarity to a potential Democratic nominee, looking for merch to wear for Joe Biden tonight. Because you know I love merch.
Yeah, I do. You do love
merch. I have Elizabeth Warren merch and I have Pete Buttigieg merch. And I thought to myself, well, if he's going to end up being the nominee, let me go get some merch to wear and also give him some money.
I just, you know what I really like about this is that, you know, if this pattern of you picking losers to buy merch for is like real discouraging.
Yes.
It's just like, okay, all right.
Mean I'm continually. Well, be honest, I was thinking about it. My entire, not just me, but I think but also me. There is a history of like me supporting candidates that don't end up winning because I love Howard Dean.
Oh,
back in the day.
Back in the day.
I like basically Bill Clinton might be the only one that I ever was like.
Yeah.
So I'm very used to rooting for someone that ends up having to concede. Right. So the point is that I tried to go. And just as a disclaimer, I don't love Joe Biden, but obviously I prefer him to Donald Trump. And I went to go look for merch because I love buying merch.
Yeah.
And guys, I'm having a hard time finding merch from the Joe Biden site that I'm excited to wear.
You didn't want to wear the Joe Biden's vanquished foes in the Arial font names?
I don't really. I thought there's an appeal to me of that idea because I did support Warren and Pete and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll tell you why I don't like that shirt. It has Mike on it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is anyone excited about Mike Bloomberg that they want to see him on the shirt, you know?
No, you can just tape it over. You could tape over that part of the shirt. Or just, like, put Jordan next to it. But you hate Michael Jordan, so.
Yes.
How about Mike Pence. Mike Myers?
It could be Mike Pence. Anyway, the point is, Biden, up your merch game. Because not only am I'm not super enthused about Biden,
yeah,
but also I'm not super enthused about his merch.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I'll tell you what, if that doesn't say enough.
Yeah, he has a pride. There's a pride Biden shirt. Right?
A pride in?
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, it looks cool. I'm a sucker for pride.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yeah. I also know this about you.
I'm a sucker for gay shit, but but to be honest, I think it's odd for me to wear a pride shirt because I'm not really I can't really tell you what he's done from LGBT things. So like, yeah. It's like, it doesn't, it's not a, there's not a lot of synchronicity between the two things, you know, for yes, Pete to have a pride shirt.
It's two Venn diagrams that are separate.
Yeah. If those rings can get even as overlapped as like the Olympics,
yeah,
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, whoever, it just reminds, this bad Clippers merch reminds me of the bad Biden merch. I would hope that it's not the same person designing both.
It probably is.
The bottom line is I probably have to think of a good shirt that I would be proud to wear and then sell that instead.
And put it up on the website, tpublic.com.
Tpublic. A friend of mine actually designed a shirt for Elizabeth Warren that said, it was a drawing that said, she's electable if you vote for her.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that. It was like a cartoony kind of...
Did I ever tell you how much I hated that slogan?
She's electable if you vote for her?
Oh.
Well, tell me that in a second.
Yeah.
This woman created a fun cartoon of it with Elizabeth Warren and put it on TeePublic.
And people ate it up?
And my friend of a friend told me that she has made $80,000.
That's a good amount of money.
Yeah. Now tell me why you hate that phrase.
I hated that phrase because... it ignored everything about the way voting works. It was fluff from a campaign that had, to me, delivered so much like really good, really important like policy like truths.
Uh-huh.
And it was fluffy in a way that felt incongruous with what I like about Elizabeth Warren.
Interesting. I felt like it was an expression of frustration about the whole topic.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, is she a realist or is she a dreamer? Like, which one is she?
Yeah.
Like, to me, she always felt like a realist. She always felt like somebody who would tell you, like, the truth about how it is.
Yeah.
And instead, this, like, slogan, she's electable if you vote for her, felt to me like her grasping at, like, well, nobody is voting for me.
Uh-huh.
Like
yeah, I guess it's
very self-defeating of a slogan. It's like, well, if you vote for her, she'll get elected. Yeah, but nobody's voting for her.
Right. I guess it felt like an expression of like the frustration of having to always deal with like anticipated misogyny.
Yeah.
And like the sort of impossibility of even navigating that and like how do you even deal with the concept of the fear of misogyny.
Yeah.
Since it's very basketball related, I do think that the primary results that we've had since then have magnified that, like, the misogyny issue in elections is amazingly even bigger than we thought it was.
Yeah, it's huge.
Like, it's like we thought it was like a marginal thing that was a factor in 2016. And to be honest, like, it actually seems like a much bigger problem than it really was.
A huge, huge problem.
Because, and again, I'm not a fan. I'm not a big Joe Biden proponent. But, like, there's not a big amount of space between him and Hillary Clinton.
No.
And he is crushing. Yeah. So, like, if it's just, like, a scientific experiment, and actually, interestingly and useful for this conversation, Bernie has actually kept pretty close to his, like, his speeches today are very similar than they were 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So he hasn't changed that much. And like the fact that Joe Biden has a dick is like, oh, fucking 40 extra points.
Yeah.
So that's just been very frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating.
And mostly he has bad merch.
Just most of that merch is just awful.
You're not that much of a hype beast.
I don't have the money to be a hype beast.
You would be?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
Ooh.
I mean, I would just like, I have a ton of jerseys. I'd have more.
Would you ever like, would it ever spread into like streetwear though?
I mean, I have the desire to wear streetwear. I don't know if I have the eye for it.
Yes.
I like, cause I like wearing things that like look a little different.
Yeah.
Like have a little bit of style. Because like, I feel like when I go in for work, I'm usually wearing a button down shirt and slacks or jeans or something. So I like to, when I'm not like going in to look nice, like I like to wear stuff that is more casual and a little weirder, but
yeah.
I don't understand the hype beasts like standing out waiting for a drop of some sort.
Yeah.
Like, because my style is always informed by like finding deals on cool and weird looking
things. Yeah, because some of that is almost like pivots around the idea of not finding a deal.
Yeah.
Of being like, fuck it, I'm paying this amount for it.
That, so I'm in, like, yeah, I'm a different kind of hype beast. I'm the hype beast that is like, I'm going to find these weird things, and which I think makes me not a hype beast. It just makes me like a person who likes weird stuff.
So just like the way Kobe might have said, different deals, same beast.
There we go.
The only reason I bring it up is that there's this new app on my phone called Network.
Okay.
NTWRK, no vowels.
Wow.
That is drops happening on your phone, like home shopping, like a video hosting, a person hosting a drop on your phone. And it's like you click on your phone to like buy the thing as they're telling you about the hoodie.
That's okay. That's a lot.
I'm just curious. I'm probably not going to spend a lot of money here. Because last week, did I tell you about the hoodie that I wore for the show that I shot?
No.
So last week I shot a very brief scene on a new show that's coming out soon. And in it, I was playing the owner of a drug dispensary.
Yes. Okay.
That so met I was
the mayor of LA.
Yes. And I was given a hoodie to wear. And I'll just show you this.
I would love to see it.
Okay. And I want you to, before, okay. I want
also,
you to guess.
Also, I don't have a single hoodie. That's my other thing.
Is it true?
I have that, I have a, like a vest hoodie.
Oh, I have too Umbro. Many hoodies. And that, actually, this is why. If you want to be hype beast, you got to get hoodies. So this is the hoodie I'm showing.
Oh, god damn. That is a nice looking sweatshirt. Yeah, yes. It's zip up in the middle. It's like when I think hoodies, I think pullovers, hoodies. Right. But like zip, I do have some zip.
This is
hoodies.
A purple camo.
Yeah, I like that. That's good looking.
Okay, so then I looked in the label and was like, oh, the brand is Bathing Ape.
Oh, I used to have a Bape sweatshirt that I got at a thrift store.
Oh, you got a thrift store?
Yeah. It may or may
not have been. So it's probably a very good steal.
Yeah.
So this hoodie, it's a purple camo Bathing Ape. The hood, you can't see, has a shark tooth on it.
Yeah.
And it was confirmed by the wardrobe department that it was real.
Okay.
So how much do you think this hoodie costs?
New or secondhand?
New.
$1,200.
Oh. No, it was $599.
Oh, $599. Yeah. Okay. So I doubled it. It's probably $1,200 on the streets.
Yeah. And also while wearing it, I was like, it's an okay hoodie.
Yeah, they're just fine.
It's not like I didn't feel I would probably pay $40 at most for a hoodie.
Yeah. It looks nice. It's just a nice looking hoodie.
Yeah. So this has been hoodie talk.
Hoodie talk. We're getting two real hype beasts here.
Yeah. I just wonder sometimes if Casey one day will just flip over into full hype beast mania.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Once I get more money, I'll be a hype beast.
Our game of the week is Sunday.
Sunday. We March got 15th. Nuggets versus Lakers. It's time, okay? The return.
I will not be planning any social engagements after that game because I do not want to be yelling at anybody.
Game will be over at 9. You'll be in bed.
Look, if Nikola Jokic scores 45 points and wins the game, I'm cool with that. I can't handle Jamal Murray hitting a three-pointer at the buzzer and winning this game.
Okay, here's what's going to happen after the game is that you're just going to get on Reddit and fight with people.
Yeah. I mean, that's a given.
Win
that,
or lose.
That's happening win or lose. Yeah. For example. Yeah.
You're just going to be a little more vitriolic if we lose.
Okay, wait. Best case scenario is it's a close game and Jamal Murray dribbles the ball away.
Okay.
You know, he's already done that this time.
Yeah.
One time this season where they needed to take a shot and he just dribbled away a 24-second violation.
Of course.
So that's best case.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I'll go to a party afterwards.
All right. Love it.
So we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to make an announcement about the game?
Yes. You know, I guess this is all dependent on whether or not they allow people back in the arena by
that's
then.
That's true, yeah.
But we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary of the Rule of Threes podcast. And we wanted to celebrate by going to a basketball game. And the one that I have picked is the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Los Angeles Clippers. So if you're in the LA area and want to come to a game in April, I believe the game is April 13th is my understanding, the day after Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Come through, send us a note on Twitter, send us a note via email, hit up our Instagram, whatever.
Yep.
And let us know that you're interested in coming. And then when we make the arrangements to buy tickets, we'll let you know. I guess we will find out this week, is what some people are saying on whether or not they're going to allow fans into the arena for the rest of the season.
Whoa.
So,
If not, maybe we'll have a virtual one.
A virtual one.
And by the way, April 13th, bring your prospective tax returns and we'll take a look at them as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes. Very good at taxes over here.
So put that on your calendar and let's watch this game on Sunday and let's get back to it next week.
Yeah. You got any shows?
No.
No. I got a True Sex Machina on Thursday. Going to be a blast.
Moving Arts.
Clubhouse.
Oh, Clubhouse. Yeah, right. Sorry. 8 p.m. at the Clubhouse.
Yes.
True Sex Machina.
Yeah.
Go see that. And we'll see you next time.